I preached this message. It's the Lord helped me revive a message that I preached several years ago. Several years ago. It's been a while. Preached it up in Indiana, and the Lord blessed. And I had it in my mind I was going to preach it tonight, but the Lord just kind of, I'm going to preach it, but it's going to be a little bit different. So you pray for me. I don't know if I'm going by an outline or what. That's why I say it's going to be audience participation. Amen. Joshua chapter 10, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for the reading of your word, Lord, and I ask your hand to be upon us right now. God, you help us, dear Lord, as we try to preach this, God, the way you impressed upon us, Lord, on the front seat right here. God, have your way right now. God, we'll praise you, we'll honor you, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've all been in that area in our life, all been in that, and let's just be honest, okay? It hadn't been that often. We've all had that area in our life, Barry, that we felt we were close to God, David. We felt like we were on fire for God. We felt like we were there. And when we got down on our knees, God just showed up.
Amen.
If you ain't been there, there's something wrong. I'm just saying that I've been there. There have been a few times in my life that when I got down and I prayed, it was like the Lord showed up and said, I got this. Don't you worry about it. I've got it. It's all under control. It's all under my authority. I got it. I felt like sometimes that, Dale, that I've been that close to the Lord. And then there have been other times,
Amen.
Amen, that I didn't feel like I'm wasting my time.
Right.
Joshua is in the midst of a battle. They had stirred up the enemy. The enemy had heard about what happened at Jericho. The enemy had heard about what happened at Ai. And then they had other group come in and kind of trick the children of Israel and made them, because they were going to make them their slaves or whatever. And I make a long story short, but that the enemy was going to come against this other people, and they called out for Joshua, and then Joshua come down, and the Bible says that God wiped out most of the enemy by hailstones, if you go back and study. But then the Bible says Joshua and the army were fighting, and the battle was going long, and Joshua prayed they needed a little more time, that it want darkness to fall on them, and Joshua prayed, and God stopped the sun. Can't you just imagine God just reaching down and grabbing a hold to the sun and just, hold on a minute.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
And Joshua, that's a mighty, I don't know about y'all. I ain't ever prayed for the sun to stand still, and it ain't ever done. But that's big time.
Amen.
That's a big thing.
Amen.
That is a big thing. For you to, and notice how he done it now. Notice how he done it. Brother Ronnie, he just spoke to the Lord.
Amen.
He was speaking to God. The Bible says he was speaking to God. Sun, stand still. And it stopped. That's power of God. That's a mighty miracle. Amen. That is a powerful miracle. We read about these miracles in the Old Testament. We read about how that Moses walked up on the Red Sea, and God said, just lift up, and the rod, he lifted up the rod, and the water just rolled back, and all of about a million or so people crossed over on dry land. We read about the three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fire, and Jesus shows up in the fire. We read about these grand miracles, and we read about where Moses struck the rock, and the water came gushing out, and read about all these miracles in the Bible, and how these people had power with God, and then when we come down to our little bitty old prayer life.
Amen.
And if we ain't careful, we'll say, I just don't know if I can do that. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to show you something tonight that you got as much power or more than Joshua. Amen? We just don't have the access to it. And it's our fault. In Matthew chapter 20, very familiar story. We all heard the story. We all know the story. Amen? Look at verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" And they said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Go back up to verse 32. And Jesus stood still. The Son stood still. Amen? The Son stood still. Had you rather have that Son that roams around stand still, or would you rather have the S-O-N stand still? Every last one. If God's ever answered a prayer for you, raise your hand. Guess what? The Son stood still for you. Amen? About it as I was sitting on the front row, and this ain't got nothing to do with my outline. I might want to take these off because I don't probably ain't going to read nothing else tonight. But I thought about it as I was sitting there, you know, how that I've never prayed about the Son standing still, but every last one of us in our spiritual walk, every one of us were blind. Every one of us were just like blind Bartimaeus West. We were spiritually blind. And one day Jesus came passing by, amen. And one day we called out on the Son, and the Son stopped and said, "Dallas, what do you want me to do?" And you said, "Lord, that I might see spiritually now." And God come down and touched those blinded eyes and saved you. And now you're able to see spiritually. That's how come you can testify like you did this morning about when you come in and you feel the presence of God. Amen. And the Son stood still for Charlie. And the Son stood still for Wes. And the Son stood still for you. Don't stand here like you ain't never had a prayer answered. I'm telling you right now, had you rather stop the Son of God, the one that made the S-O-U-N or O-N, would you rather stop him, or would you rather have some kind of natural phenomenon? I'd rather have Jesus, amen. How many, I thought about it. Spiritually, we've all were blinded. Spiritually, there have been times that I've been thrown into the fire, and guess who shows up? Amen. Spiritually, there have been times that I had leprosy, amen, and guess who shows up? So now I'm going to ask you a question. Spiritually, in your life, is there somebody that can say there was a time that the Son stood still for me? And I'm going to give you just a little bit to testify. Amen? Go ahead.
Bless you. Young parents, and you talk about a specific situation where you know God showed up.
Yeah.
Tucker was sick. He was an infant. He had a fever of it kept climbing to, and it got to.
Come on, Dave.
It got up to 104. Jenny said, and we've never been people that ran to the doctor very fast. That just ain't us. And so she's like, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to go in there, and we're going to pray for him, and we're going to wait 15 minutes. And if it ain't better, we're going to the emergency room. And we went in and kneeled beside him, and we prayed with him. He was asleep. And we went in the living room, and we prayed. And 15 minutes later, we went in there, and his temperature was 99. And we said, thank you, Lord, for showing up and standing still for us.
Amen.
And if I live to be 100, I'll never forget that night.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about, a specific time. Stand up, brother. When Jesus stood, said, that's the Son of God stopping all creation. He's got everything. He's got all this stuff to worry about. He's got all the planets revolving. He's got everything going on. And he's going to stop at the seller's house and take care of a fever. Somebody ought to testify tonight. Somebody ought to get happy. If y'all don't wake up, I'm going to start throwing stuff.
Amen. Go ahead.
It's been 12 years ago when we first come to church here. And I had to go in the hospital just like you had with your, they cut me in half right there. And took my kidney out, and he had cancer in the top of it. And the doctor come in that next morning and told me, he said, your pathologist report says you got cancer there, so we'll decide what we're going to do in the next few days. And I was laying there, and Gail had done already went to get her something to eat. And I looked up, my whole room was full of women. Miss Juwan had the whole Sunday school class, I believe. And I was in intensive care. They prayed. I knew they was praying for me. And that night, I was laying there, and I said, Lord, I said, it's in your hands. I said, ain't nothing I can do. And the Lord said, don't worry about it. It's been 12 years, and I still ain't got no cancer.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody else?
Hold on, Mike.
Most everybody knows that we adopted Olivia, but he showed up in a big way that day because I had lost two babies prior to that whole process, and we started the adoption process in April of that year, and everybody talks about how that's a two-year, three-year process, but in April we found the attorney. The birth mom matched with us in May, and December 14th we were holding our daughter. So that's definitely a God thing.
Amen.
And they come to us after she'd been with us for 2 days and told us to be prepared because they thought her mom was going to change her mind, her birth mom, and that they would be coming in to get the baby. And so I immediately reached out to Cindy and the pastor, and they were on a cruise, but I didn't know anybody else to call other than my church and to God. And they all started praying. And within about 2 hours, her birth mom sent me a message. And she said, Eileen, I prayed. And when I prayed about it, God told me that this is where she belonged. And this is what I'm going to do. And she signed the papers. But that was 110% God showing up at that hospital and giving us this baby. And we are so thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. So Jesus stopped by for an adoption. So what's Jesus done for you? I'm coming, Mike. Go ahead, sis.
I don't know if any of y'all remember this.
Bless
the Lord. That's why I don't speak, because I cry and I can't talk. But when we were probably about 15 weeks pregnant with Shep, and I remember we announced that we were pregnant, and in the middle of the night, I woke Gavin up because I thought I was having a miscarriage. And I remember waking him up. And I remember we prayed, and I texted my grandparents, because they know whenever I text them, there's a certain sound that their phone makes. And I said, I know y'all are probably asleep, but please just pray because I think I'm having a miscarriage. And I remember texting Jessica Bates because something just told me. She's just one of those prayer warriors that you just want to pray for you. And I remember we had eventually had the church praying, and just all day I was debating, you know, what I was going to do. And just there was all these signs that I was miscarriaging. And I remember us praying almost all the way to the Waxhaw ER. And I remember seeing Josh Mullins. It was just the first, like, familiar face we had. It just was just this calming that came over me when we got there. And, I mean, he's my baby's 15 months now. I mean, we had our challenges, but he's here. And
amen.
God showed up, and I'm so thankful for that.
Amen. He'll stop by. I'm just telling you.
Their prayers stopped the sun. Amen. I just want to start with, I remember back in, it was 94, 93, when my brother had a bad wreck. And I remember God showing up, and I remember seeing the power of prayer work. I was still a young Christian, did. And I was a first responder and a fireman, and I went to his wreck scene, and I said, I bet his car was tore up. And I said, well, ain't no way he's going to make it through this. Even the hospital, they told us, they said, he won't make it through tonight. And, they didn't give us no hope. But then I see my Grandpa Davis, my Grandma Davis, and Preacher Jack Laster, and Mitch Ingram get down and pray, and Mama. And I heard them pray like I didn't hear nobody pray before. Next morning, my brother was still there.
Yeah.
Then they told us he still wouldn't have no chance of recovering. And they said he wouldn't. He was in a coma, that was as good as it was going to get. He just kept getting a little bit better and a little bit better. And I see him, the more they prayed, the better he got. And I seen God work. And the day my brother works, he drives a little car around at Walmart with a light on top. He's security guard. He wasn't supposed to do that again. And the only reason he's doing that is because of the power of prayer. Amen. And that God worked in his life. And then in 06, I remember when I was having real bad headaches. And all that was brought on by I was in a lot of stress at the time, going through a lot of bad stuff. And I remember those headaches were so bad that they was causing me to have mini strokes and stuff, and it would cause a blood vessel in my head, the brain to shut down, and then I would start having those real bad headaches and go into having a mini stroke. And I remember they put me on all kind of medicine. I was on this medicine. It had all kind of side effects, but it kept me from having those mini strokes. And I just, you know, one day I remember back when you was preaching and you talk about coming to get anointed for what was going on with you. The doctors had done what they could do, and I was still having them headaches. And still had to take that medicine, and I didn't have no kind of life. So I went and got anointed, and he said, believe when you get anointed that God's going to do it. And I believed it, and he took those headaches away from me. That was 2006. I had never had another one of those headaches. No more. I eventually come off all that medicine. I used to have to take it every day of my life. I was up to 1,200 milligrams of that. I don't have to take it no more.
Amen.
God gave me back a decent life, you know. And then there was other times when I had problems with my knee, and God was there for every time I prayed and I went and got anointed. I remember God touching that problem because I believed that he was going to touch it.
That's right.
And I just want to thank him for what he's done in my life.
Amen.
See, when it's your prayer request, it's a whole different ball game. It's one thing when somebody calls and says, would you pray for me? And I'm just being honest. We pray earnestly. We do. When somebody calls, when Mike calls or Gavin calls or Dallas, I pray. I really pray. But it's a whole different ball game when it's you and when it's your family. Like Mike said, he saw his grandma and Grandpa Davis pray and Preacher Jack and them pray like they had never prayed before. And look what, it's different when it hits home. These two blind men, they wasn't nobody else in that crowd blind, Wes. And they were telling them to shut up. I'm the one that's blind and you telling me to shut up? No, I'm going to get his attention. I'm going to stop the sun. I'm going to stop the son when my child's got a fever. I'm going to stop the son when I got something, when I got cancer. I'm going to stop the son when it's my adoption process. I'm going to stop the son when my wife's pregnant. I'm going to stop the son. I'm not going to listen to everybody else. You can just go ahead and keep it all to yourself, because I'm going to do my very best to stop the son. Amen.
Many years ago, I was diagnosed with lymphoma, and I hadn't been long gotten married, and the medicine I was going to have was, it looked like a tube of toothpaste that was $48,000, and I had no insurance. And I just remember leaving the surgeon's office and pulling over and just crying, and I had Alan on the phone, and he said, I'm going to pull over in my van, and we're going to pray. And on my way home, of course, I thought, I don't have money like that, and I just didn't know what I was going to do. And I promise you, before I could even pull in my driveway, I get a phone call from a nonprofit organization that paid 100% of the $48,000 tube of chemotherapy that I needed. And, I mean, that's just God. There was no other, that just never happens, you know. And I didn't pay a dime. But God, that was just God, and he stood still for me.
And you don't think God answers prayers. And you don't think you can pray and make the sun stand still. Amen. In these two scriptures, the sun stood still for a battle. Somebody was fighting a battle, and they prayed, and God stopped the sun. In the other situation, somebody was broken. Somebody needed help. Somebody had problems, and they stopped the sun. What do you need tonight? What do you need tonight? I'm going to give an altar call here in just a little bit. But you need to think about what you need tonight. What do you need the sun to stop for you about? Amen?
I'll tell you how good God is. I get nervous when I speak in front of a crowd, so I'm going to do the best I can. Several years ago, I had some situation going on in my gums, and I had to have surgery. And that Sunday night when I left church, I knew I had to go that Monday. I said, well, I know you're not supposed to speak about fasting. I said, I'm going to fast. So I went on to the doctor, and he did the work he had to do, and he said, and I'm going to tell you, he said, when you leave here, you go get that prescription filled. He said, because you're going to need it quick. And I'm not one to take anything stronger than an Advil, not unless I got something on my stomach. So I went and got the medicine and worked. We had a situation going on. My boss asked me, he said, you think you can come in? I said, I'll do my best, because we had a lot going on. So I got the prescription filled, went home, and I got thinking about me talking to the Lord about fasting. I said, well, I can't take it because I don't have nothing on my stomach. I'm going to get sick. So I stood there and talked to the Lord about it. And I said, you know, I said, all the pain and suffering you done for me, I'm just going to have to bear this pain. So after I got through saying that, preacher, I said, I'm going on to work. Before I could get from my kitchen to my door at the back, that pain was gone. I never took any pain medicine. That's God.
Amen. Amen. I don't think you're supposed to talk about fasting while you're doing it, but after it's a done deal, After it's already got, hey, you can tell everybody, listen, I did what the Bible said do, and God showed up. Who else?
You did a fine job. Y'all know me. I don't speak out loud too much, but this here is real strong on my heart. Back in 2011, I was at church here and had a heart attack. We were on our way to the hospital, and that's when they told me I was having my heart attack. Well, they flew me from Lancaster to Rock Hill. Did a stent that night. The time I was in there, I was being set up for a double bypass surgery. Wednesday night, Jack Lasseter was preaching revival here, and I got anointed. I went and had, that following week, I was going for a second opinion because I wasn't happy with what I'd heard. To start off the story, my dad was 45. He passed away with heart attacks. My mom was 52, and she passed away, and it's hereditary, and I was afraid I was going to leave my family. So I had that anointment, went the week later, and had, I was laying downstairs in the hospital. They were getting ready to do, I'm not sure if it was a heart cath or a heart surgery or what. There was an emergency come, so they grabbed the doctor that was going to be doing me. They already prepped me. I was laying on the table waiting to have it done. They took him to the next room, and all I could do was lay there and pray and think about my parents, how they had passed away at a young age. Well, when he come back and was doing the heart cath and was checking me, he said, Mr. Smith, he said, look here. He said, I don't see anything we need to do right now. He said, we're going to treat this with medication. I've only had three other stents put in since then, but I have not been cut open to where the doctor was going to cut me open and give me a double bypass.
Amen.
And I can just give it all to God, and God did it for me.
That's Jesus stopping by.
So I feel like there's just so too many to count, honestly, because I feel like God's just showed up a lot of times. Like my mind's like just racing of all the different times. But the first thing I can think about was probably the first time I ever really, really prayed. I feel like I prayed as a teenager. But I got a phone call when I was 19, and somebody told me that Benji had been in a bad wreck. And all I knew was that he was being airlifted. And I called my friend Anna and Marty. And I called my mom and my dad. And I remember I just laid on the floor, face down. And I just screamed and just squalled. And just said, dear God, please don't. Please just let him live. But then it felt like forever, but I don't think it was very long. Mama come and pick me up. And Daddy, whenever I told him what had happened, we knew he got hit by an 18-wheeler. Had run a red light. And he told me later on that he, with his past of being on the highway patrol, he felt like he needed to go to the scene first to prepare me for what I might see. And I don't know what happened. From the day I got hit, probably 15 minutes till I got there, we were pulling up. I remember thinking like the absolute worst. And Daddy said, just go straight to the high school. They're taking him out from Buford High School in the helicopter's landing. And when I got to that high school, Benji was cutting up in the back of the ambulance. And I remember I got there and his head was sticking out almost as big as the big neck brace. And I'm sitting there thinking, there's got to be something wrong. Like, I mean, but all I know is from that 15 minutes, there was probably 50 people or so that had called the son to stop. When I come out of that ambulance, I remember seeing David and Mom and Dad. I just remember, like, it felt like half the church was in the parking lot. He didn't even have a concussion. He had a broken lip, or like a busted lip and a bruised hip.
And I just remember Daddy saying, there's no way in the world that God did not literally stop right there and have his hand on him. And I have a husband today because God stood still in that intersection and just put his edge of protection around my husband. And I know I've prayed. God's touched Aubrey and Annie and Abby and Ansley and Allie and every one of my kids. And I've called out many, many times. But I've got to have a biopsy done this week. And I want to be anointed. And I know that if God can stop tractor trailer trucks and he can heal cancer and he can fix adoptions and all this other kind of stuff, I know he can take care of this situation. And it's just all going to be fine.
What do you need? I'm going to ask the deacons, come on up. What do you need? She's been vocal tonight about what she needs. We're getting ready to gather around and pray. But this altar's open for whatever you need. I'm sure she's not the only one in this building that's fighting a battle tonight. I'm sure she's not the only one in this building that might be broken tonight. I'm sure she's not the only one in this building that might need help tonight. So as our deacons come on down, I want you to stand right now. If you got a need, why don't you come down and let the sun stop for you?